There we go.
Must have a short in this thing. Okay, tonight is lesson 16 on Hannah. And as our outline says, the lesson tonight, Hannah and her son Samuel, we'll have Samuel next Wednesday night. And these lessons go together, so you need to be here. You who are here tonight need to come back next Wednesday night as we take up our lesson on Samuel. Now, I said it was going to probably have two lessons on each, spend two Wednesday nights on each lesson, but I believe that this lesson is fairly short tonight, and I'm hoping without running too hard to get through this tonight. And this is a sweet lesson. Here's a wonderful, godly lady, and what a precious lesson this is tonight. I think if you'll look into it, it'll help you spiritually tonight and give you a kindness and a tenderness about you as you think of this great godly lady, Hannah. Now, the word Hannah, and this is certainly a fitting name, it means gracious or grace. And you know, we ought to have a testimony, try to have a testimony, that people will think of us as being a gracious person or being a person of grace. And you don't have to be mean. You don't have to go around choking people and biting people, chewing people up and spitting them out. We need to be people of grace, be gracious. Learn to be gracious to people as a testimony. Now, all we know of Hannah, we find in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. We know nothing about her background, and her family life is all we know about her family life is recorded right here after she got married. And Hannah married a Levite from the priestly tribe of the Kohathites, and his name was Elkanah. And Elkanah was not a very distinguished priest, not too well known. That's okay. He might have been a great man of God. We just don't know. He didn't distinguish himself, but that's okay. God uses a lot of nobodies. I'm glad of that, or I'd be in bad shape. Most of you would too, as far as that's concerned. But anyway, even though he was a priest of a well-known, honorable family, he participated in a common custom in those days, polygamy. And he had two wives. We don't understand that today, but it was common, a common practice in those days. It never was right, but it was a common practice. And Hannah, naturally, was his wife, and he had another wife who was Peninnah. And she bore children, and Hannah was barren. Hannah could not have children. And this was a great grief to her. And it was made even worse by Peninnah constantly jabbing her and making unkind remarks and cutting her deeply. Look at verse 6. And her adversary, Hannah's adversary, Peninnah, also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. So in other words, this one wife number, well, I don't know which one's number, we'll call Hannah number one, but wife number one was being gigged by wife number two in the home there. And because I can hear this here say, well, goody, 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 I can have children, you can't you? Or, yeah, the Lord blessing me, not blessing you. I mean, constantly, can't you imagine living in a home with two wives? Hard enough, man, one home sometimes. I'm kidding all that, but brother, I'll tell you what, if you think you have trouble with one mate, you get two women in the home, you would be into it. And then them going around and griping and carrying on, and one of them a jealous, conniving, cutting type lady like Peninnah was. But anyway, she was not only constantly harassing Hannah, but she was jealous of her too, because her husband loved wife number one more than he loved wife number two. Look at verse 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So Elkanah was not only a polygamist, but he was played favorites in the home. He was wife number one, was his favorite wife, and I bet you they had a time about that. I'm sure jealousy was, she is constantly eaten up with jealousy. So Peninnah was jealous of Hannah. You know, there's five biblical prayers for children in the Bible. And this is, let me just mention these quickly. I don't have time to go into them. But first, Abraham prayed for a son. And God answered his prayer and gave him Isaac. And then we find a prayer that was in Genesis 15, 2. And then Genesis 25:21, we have another prayer for a child, and this was Isaac, and the Lord blessed him with twins as a result of that prayer. And then in Genesis 30, verses 1 and 22, Rachel prayed, and God gave her who? Joseph. And then here in this story we're studying tonight, Hannah prayed, and God gave her Samuel. Then in Luke 1, we find Zechariah praying, and God gave Zechariah who? John the Baptist. So we could see many times God, in the Word of God, God controls the womb. And God is in control. Then Hannah was in the home now, and she is constantly being harassed. But Hannah never showed a sign of revenge. Isn't that wonderful? That takes, folks, a grace of God. That takes a beautiful spirit to take harassment like this and then keep a good spirit. So from the home life, no wonder Hannah was able to produce one of the greatest men of God in the Old Testament, Samuel, who made a great impact for God upon the world. Now let's look at what the Old Testament, each one of our characters, we're studying what the Old Testament and New Testament says about the character. So tonight let's look what the Old Testament says about Hannah, and we find it all right here, as I said, in chapters 1 and 2. Notice first of all her grief in chapter 1. Each year the family would go up to the temple, would go up to Shiloh to sacrifice and worship the Lord God of heaven. At that time, the temple was located at Shiloh, and later on, David moved the temple, as you know, to Jerusalem. But here we go again. Peninnah on the way up. She's got bored, so she thought, well, I'll just gig Hannah. And so she, on the way up to the temple, Peninnah started on Hannah again about, goody-goody, I've got children, you don't. And so here we come into this story now, Hannah is wounded in spirit, and she's full of grief. Look at verses 7 and 8. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. In other words, every year Hannah had that look forward to. As they were going up the house of God, all the way there, she's getting gigged about this. And brother, she was in a worshipful attitude, I'm sure, when she got there. But Hannah was full of grief, as we see. And so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, she must have been sick, she couldn't eat. I have to be sick and ready almost for the funeral home before I can't eat. They'll tell you, I can be sick as a horse and bring me something to eat, you know. And I mean, I'm really sick when I don't want something to eat. But she had lost her appetite. She was so provoked about not having a child. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So her husband did love her and was good to her. And we don't understand in our society the agony and the terrible predicament a Jewish lady got herself in when she couldn't have a child. I mean, it was just overwhelming in grief. And we, in our culture today, we don't understand that. Her grief is seen in verse 15. We'll come to this later on in a minute. But look over verse 15. We see, and Hannah answered in verse 15, chapter 1. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit." So here she is, full of grief. Hannah was the fourth great woman in the Bible who grieved because she could not bear a child. And she was the most spiritual, most prayerful of these. Sarah laughed when they told her, well, she's 90 years old. I guess if I do more than laugh, I guess I'd die of a heart attack. Tell a 90-year-old lady you're going to have a child. But then Rebekah was barren, and Isaac prayed for her to have children. And 20 years after marriage, she had Esau and Jacob. And Rachel was barren, and she prayed, "Give me children or I die." In other words, "Lord, I'd just soon to die. Just let me die if you don't give me children." You know, that's a pretty good way to pray, isn't it? That's a pretty good way to pray. "Lord, I'd rather just die unless, Lord, you bless me. Or, Lord, unless you fill me with the Spirit. Lord, just kill me or fill me." You know, business pick up if we start praying like that. Do you know that? Business pick up, folks. That's the way to pray. I mean, get in earnest about it. And that's what you did. Then Hannah, she did the same thing. Hannah prayed. She grieved over not having a child. And so she took her problem into the temple, took it before God, and prayed and depended upon God and called upon God for a child. And she took her burden to the Lord and poured it out before Him. Isn't that a good way to do? Just take your burden to the Lord and just pour it out for Him. That's what we ought to do. And that's a lesson for all of us tonight. Then let's notice Hannah's prayer and her promise in verses 11 through 19 in the first chapter. Now here we are. Hannah is now in the temple praying. And notice the vow she made in verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." So notice she said, "Lord, if you'll give him to me, I'll give him back to you." Isn't that tremendous? That blesses my soul. She made a vow, "Lord, you give him to me. Lord, I'll give him back to you." And then also she promised the Lord that there would not a razor come upon his head all the days of his life. There will no razor come upon this on his head. And this, in other words, she was pledging that, "Lord, he will be a Nazarite." Notice, turn over to Numbers 6 and we see what a Nazarite is. Hold your place here and go over to Numbers chapter 6 and verse 2 concerning the Nazarites. Page 173 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Numbers chapter 6 verse 2. "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow," we hardly ever think of a woman being a Nazarite, but she can do the same thing, "to separate themselves unto the Lord," look at verse 5, "all the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled, in the which he separated himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow." Now, Hannah made this pledge and promise before a child was ever conceived in her body. She made a promise, "Lord, if you will just give me a son, Lord, I'll give him to you, and no razor will come upon his head." You say, "Preacher, what is a Nazarite?" Well, now, there's a difference between a Nazarene and a Nazarite. What's the difference between a Nazarene and a Nazarite? What is a Nazarene? Somebody born in Nazareth. Jesus was a Nazarene. He was a lowly Nazarene, but was not a lowly Nazarite. See, a Nazarite is one who has taken the oath of a Nazarite, taken the vow of a Nazarite. "Not touch wine, and be wholly separated unto the Lord." And this long hair was a visible sign of a Nazarite's separation unto the Lord and willing to bear the reproach of his name. Now, long hair today is not a sign of separation unto the Lord. Most long hair is a sign of not separation unto God, but a rebellion against God. Most of the time, when you see long hair, it's connected to drug culture and a sign of rebellion against God. So Hannah prayed this prayer, and she got desperate. I believe, as like the outline says here, I like this idea. I believe that she saw that Israel needed somebody holy, separated unto God. Israel needed somebody like that. They needed a man totally out and out for God. And she wanted a man to raise a man for God to lead Israel that would be out and out for God. Don't we need people today out and out for God? We need people at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church out and out for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to raise our children to be out and out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here she is. She's in the temple making this vow unto the Lord. Then let's pick up at verse 12 and just read it right down because it's self-explanatory. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart only. She was praying from her heart unto the Lord. And her lips were just moving, but no words. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. God heard her voice, though. He heard her heart's cry. Nobody could hear an audible expression, but her heart, the words from her heart, were reaching heaven. Therefore Eli the priest thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." Isn't that a wonderful statement? I've poured out my soul. Oh, listen, isn't it a good thing to go before God and just pour your soul out? That's praying. Just go to the Lord and just roll yourself out on the Lord. What a wonderful thing. "And I've poured my soul out for the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial of the devil, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And then notice in verse 18, she didn't leave God's house till God lifted the burden and gave her assurance she's going to have a child. And she said, "Let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She knew God had heard her prayer. And then look what a miracle happened in verse 19. "And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her." The Lord God of heaven did it. God heard and answered her prayer and gave her a child, as we'll see. Now, friend, you don't have to turn to it. You know it verse well, but in Romans 8, we see what happened here with her prayer in the temple. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Now, I've had Pentecostal people to tell me that's the unknown tongues. Well, that's crazy. That can't be unknown tongues, because I pointed out to one Pentecostal that it's groanings which cannot be uttered. And their false doctrine of the unknown tongue is an utterance that nobody understands except you, through interpretation, which is unscriptural. All that's unscriptural. But this is not talking about, I don't think any Pentecostal can rightly divide the word and get the unknown tongue out of this. This is with groanings, the Spirit of God. We're groaning inside, "Oh Lord, Lord, Lord." And we're groaning inside, moving our mouth. And the Spirit is working in our inner man. And God's hearing our prayer. And the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us before the throne of God. Sometimes God just says it for us. The Holy Spirit of God just says it for us before God. And we groan and we just can't say it with words. But the Holy Spirit, you know, that's pretty good praying, though, isn't it? I mean, when you just groan in your soul and just pray before God, weep before God. God knows your soul, what your soul is hungering for. And the Holy Spirit, brother, is interceding for you and making a word for you as you groan before God. Now that's real praying. And she wasn't drunk. She was praying in the Spirit. God, give me a son. I'll give him back to you. And brother, if we prayed like this, we'd get some things from God too, wouldn't we? Let's notice now number three here. Hannah's promise kept. Hannah made this vow, and she kept her vow. Over in, you don't have to turn to it, just listen to Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5. Why don't we just turn to it? That's a good verse. All of it's page 699, Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5. I'll wait till you get there. These are two good verses. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5. When thou vowest a vow unto God, here's what God says. If you vow a vow unto me, defer not to pay it. In other words, if you tell God you're going to do something, my dear brother and my dear sister, you better do it. I better do it if I tell God I'm going to do something. Lord, you do this for me, and God, I'll do that for you. And the Lord does that for me, and I forget what I told him I'd do for him. That's dangerous praying and dangerous acting. When thou vowest a vow unto God, God says, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in food. Why, a person's a fool. Promise God, you do this. God does it. Then I'll do that, and you don't do it. God hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. You may have made vows unto the Lord in the past. You have not kept that vow. You ought to keep your vow unto God. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pray. So many times, we all, if we're not careful, we'll make a vow to God and then forget it. I'm sure you've made and I have made vows to God before, and then we forgot it. But it's better to never make a vow than to make it and break it. Well, Hannah was a woman of her word. I like to see people who will tell you something and then carry through on it, don't you? I like to see people that will tell you something and keep their word. That's character. Then in verse 23, look at verse 23, chapter 1. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Now keep in mind, she had prayed, God give me a son, I'll give him back to you. She goes home, conceives. Now it's probably anywhere from 3 to 5 years later now. Let's read on. Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Now I'm told that in those days they considered the weaning time from 3 to 5 years of age. That's pretty long weaning time around the house. But I understand that's what they did back in those days. And probably I would think that she loved this son so much that she wanted to keep him there as long as she could. She probably kept him until he's about 5 years old, I would say. And then look at verse 28. Now she's back up in the temple. She's keeping her vow. She's doing what she told God that she'd do. You give him to me, Lord, I'll give him back to you. Then look at verse 28. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, Lord, as long as he's alive, he's yours. He shall be lent to the Lord. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. And he worshiped the Lord there. Oh, for some Hannahs today. Mothers who will give their children to God and say, Lord, I will give them to you. Lord, they're yours. Now, Lord, help me to raise them for God. Mothers, why don't you just give your children to the Lord and say, Lord, give me help, give me wisdom, give me love, give me power to raise my children for God. If you have children now, mothers, you ought to be like Hannah. Pray, Lord, you can have my children. Lord, I'm going to give them to you. They're in your hands. As long as they live, Lord, I'm going to put them in your hands. And help me to raise them for God. Then let's notice Hannah's praise to God. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Here we see Hannah's still in the temple now. She's taken little Samuel up the temple. And she's given him to the Lord. Turned him over to the high priest there. And given him to the Lord for his work. And then what a great, great prayer she prays here in chapter 2. Let's just read it. This is a wonderful prayer. It's called the forerunner of the Magnificat of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Let's just read it. I think it's self-explanatory. It's a beautiful prayer. And Hannah prayed, chapter 2, verse 1, and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Isn't that great? Talk no more so exceeding proud. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. God is weighing our actions. Every day, our thoughts, our actions are being weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken. And they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread. And they that were hungry cease, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. That lady knew God, didn't she? Brother, she knew God. She knew the Lord. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Now this is a prayer many think that influenced the mother of our Savior's prayer, Mary there in Luke 1:46 through 53. And these two prayers have been a blessing to the people of God down through the years. Now, notice what God did for her because she gave him unto the Lord. God gave fruit of the first fruits. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. Oh, I bet she looked forward every year to going up and see her little boy, don't you? Oh, gone. A mother putting her 5-year-old boy off by himself in the temple. And every year, oh, she just couldn't wait till she got there, I'm sure. And she brought him a little coat every year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee of this woman, seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah. Did it pay Hannah to give her child to the Lord? Did God bless her for it? Yes, he did. Look here. And she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So Hannah was faithful to the Lord, and God blessed her, the fruit of her womb, and gave her sons, 3 sons and 2 daughters. And you know, the Lord always will do us that way, folks, if we're faithful to him. As Ephesians 3:20 says, the Lord always does exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think according to that power that worketh in us. So when we give of our money, when we give of our time, when we give of our talents, when we give our home to the Lord. We give our family to the Lord. We give anything to the Lord. You know what? I'll guarantee you, listen, God is going to give you and this person, this preacher, more back in return than we give to him. I'll guarantee you. Because God will not be a debtor to you, nor me, nor anyone. When we give to the Lord, the Word of God says, give and it shall be given to you. And there will be more. It will be pressed down, heaped up, and running over according to the Word of God. So folks, don't ever be afraid to give our family to the Lord, to give anything to the Lord, to give the tithe and the offering. Never be afraid to give when God lays it on your heart, because God will give you more in return every time. It works every time. Give and it shall. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. If he's God, one of the best things you can do is give to him, because he gives you more in return every time than you give to him. Now, he might not always give you more money, but I'll take it anyway. I'll take the blessing any way the Lord wants to give me. Any way the Lord wants to give, it's okay to me. Because the Lord can give me a greater blessing than I can even ask for if I'll give to him. Well, let's notice one other thing here that in the Old Testament, the child Samuel. Look at chapter 2 here, verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, what I've already read out of his mother bringing up the little coat every year. Then down in verse 26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thing? See our children growing in favor with God and men. What other great person in the Bible grew in favor with God and men? Jesus. Also, the Word of God says in Luke, grew in favor with God and man. So Hannah's biography comes to the end right here, and she slips into the background and becomes immortal, though, because of her great praying and giving her son unto the Lord. She becomes immortal through her son. Now let's look at, just in briefly in closing, what the New Testament says about Hannah. In fact, Hannah's not mentioned in not one time in the New Testament. However, her life silently has made some effect on people in the New Testament. Hannah influenced the life of the mother of our Lord. And she, through her son, he started the school of prophets, and she had a great influence on him, and therefore through them, even up to our time. Now, look at, just turn to 1 Samuel 3. And in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. Now we'll go over these next week, but I want to just hit them briefly tonight. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant hears. Isn't that a great thing to raise a child that God speaks to, and then to know your child says, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And then verse 20, and I've underlined verse 20. This is a great verse. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of God. So Hannah got her a prophet, didn't she? Hannah raised a prophet for God. And what a great influence she and Samuel and Eli had on Samuel in raising him from childhood for the Lord. Now, mothers with children tonight, why don't you tonight decide you're going to turn your children over to the Lord? Won't you just, you mothers with children tonight, I know they're close to you, they're precious to you, and they're dear to you, why don't you say, Lord, you can have my children. And make up your mind, with God's help, you're going to raise a prophet for God. You're going to raise a man of God. Or you're going to raise a girl to be a handmaiden of the Lord. Raise a girl to be a Hannah, one that knows how to pray, a godly lady, and one that knows how to pray. Parents, why don't we get in the business of raising our children for God and not raise them to be sex pots and dress them like sex pots or raise a boy to be a hippie or ungodly character. Let's raise our children to be men of God and handmaidens of the Lord. So why don't you go home tonight, Mother, and get before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be a Hannah. Lord, I'm giving my children to you tonight. The rest of my days, Lord, I'm going to raise them for you. Lord, would you give me a prophet of God? Would you give me a man that knows God? Would you make my son somebody that knows Jesus and knows how to pray? And make my daughter a godly, chaste, pure young lady, a handmaiden of the Lord. Lord, help me to raise my children for you. Mothers, won't we just, time's up, and I'm going to quit right there. Won't we just right now just bow our heads? And fathers, you can get in on this too. Before God, why don't you just say, Lord, help me to raise my children for God. What good is it if all they are raised for is to accumulate things, accumulate houses and land and cars and have a good time? It's going to all be gone someday. Let's raise our children for God. Men and women of Christian, noble Christian character, that do know their God. Pray that God will help you to raise a man of God. Or if you have girls, that they'll be handmaidens of the Lord. Another Hannah for God. Just tell the Lord that. So Lord, help me to raise my children for you. Father, I pray that these, especially Lord, since this is on Hannah tonight, I pray for every dear mother here tonight. Lord, you've blessed them with children. And now, Lord, help them to be like Hannah and say, Lord, I'm going to lend him or her to you all the days of their life. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me to raise a man of God or a handmaiden of the Lord. Lord, may our mothers pray that tonight. God, help her parents. Fill them with the Spirit. And Lord, may they set the right example before our children. Read the Word, praying, and living right, taking right attitudes, and loving their children, and loving their husband, and loving their wives, and setting a right example in the home in front of the children of godliness and holiness, and praying for their children, and leading them in the right way. Lord, help us to raise some men of God and some handmaidens of the Lord around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Lord, help us to teach our children not to just be social gadflies and sex pots and the men of this world, just interested in the things of this world. But help, Lord, us to raise children that are interested in the things of God. Lord, may we have that desire as parents tonight. Fill our mothers, especially now, with the Holy Spirit, like Hannah. And may they lend their children to the Lord, raise them for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Well, amen. We'll